church member once said to me that while a religion based upon grace and hope was a hard doctrine, it was also something you can live by and something you can die by. Religion is a way of looking at and understanding the world around us. It gives meaning to life as we experience it today, and even as it will be experienced in an afterlife. In that it helps us to understand, religion is also a comfort, and this is never more obvious than at the time of death.
Than in any other kind of order, any other church, it would probably be different. Because if the person, say like a missionary Baptist, if the person had not been saved, as they would say, it's very difficult for them to say anything. I have noticed that, you know, they can hardly say anything over a person who has not accepted, you know, as they say, accepted Christ. And so it is a big difference because the family is not really comforted from the missionary or the other belief side. And I would say if you could be fairly comforted, you know, it would help you a lot if you were in a primitive Baptist church. Knowing that that you didn't have to accept, I mean, you know, there wasn't any accepting done, it was all God accepting, you know. That has a big part of making you feel comforted. This person is, you know, that maybe they had lived a sort of a rough life, you know, drinking, that type of thing. You would know that they would not be going to hell over that. Or, you know, if there's always the hope, you know. And that gives you a lot of comfort, I feel.
When the day of life is brightest, love is fondest, hope most free.
The primitive Baptists see their church as being in a direct line of descent spiritually from the original or apostolic church, and believe that it would be wrong for their own religious practices to stray very far from those mentioned in the New Testament. They approach their religion with a desire to maintain it in its original form. Some change does occur, though not in their original religious principles, which they call the Gospel Order and Articles of Faith. There may be changes in the customs that have grown up around their religion over time. For example, while singing harmony parts used to be thought of as too worldly for religious singing, the style of singing has changed in the Calvin Church.
Used to, people didn't sing, you know, altos and things like that, but now they hear a lot of them sing alto and tenors and, you know, seem like it's, really it seems better to me. It sounds, you know, it sounds like that everybody's coming together or something.
There was one man who sang a harmony part. Then there were two women. And that's about all there are now that sing. There's not that many people in our church that have a good ear for harmony. There are some that have great voices. They just have not been exposed to harmony.
The singing of hymns in the Primitive Baptist Church is sacred, and the hymns reflect and enhance the spiritual life of the believer. The singing is congregational. Rehearsed choirs and solos will not be found. In the worship service, the hymns may be selected and requested by anyone, chosen for their meaning to an individual at a particular time.
But thou art mighty.
The tune is heisted, or started on pitch, usually by a male member of the church, and the other members join in. The congregation sings from hymnals. The D.H. Goebel hymnbook used at Calvin contains only the words. In the past, most people didn't sing from hymnals at all, and a leader lined out the hymn.
Well, one thing they did that was because they didn't have no books. You know, maybe one or two in the church crowd that have a book, you know. And they did that so everybody could help sing. They'd read it off, you know, and everybody knew what to say, and they'd go follow it. That's what that book done for.
That was due to the lack of song books and possibly the lack of reading ability. And there might could have been one brother, or there might have been maybe several brothers, but one brother made the lack of song books and the lack of reading ability that the songs were aligned, that everyone in the house could have the opportunity to join in and be able to sing together. That's, I think, how it was started. And we do it occasionally, even yet. Just mostly just carrying on a custom. We have two or three good brethren in our in the Kentuckian churches that can still, you know, they do that, and it's quite beautiful.
Oh, beautiful hills of Galilee, a man who sins they saviors dwell, your flesh that blooms so beautiful of hills and flags, sing beautiful.
Though there are associations in other states who use hymnals printed with notes, and always have, many of the churches, Calvin among them, pass the melodies of the songs from parent to child, member to member, in the oral tradition. Favorite hymns of one generation become favorites of the next.
Oh, beautiful hills of Galilee. I always get into it. That's my mother's song. See, I've heard her sing it, so she just gets so tired she couldn't sing.
My grandmother, she's dead and gone now. She used to share this lovely old, quaint old house, you know, and had a porch swing. And that's where I took my nap through the day. I would lay there in the sun while the squeaking of the porch swing. And those songs will always be in my mind, you know. And she just had such a lovely voice too, and just like an angel singing from heaven, you know. And it just always stayed with me.
One point on which the Primitive Baptists stand firm is that the hymns must be sung unaccompanied. No piano, organ, or other musical instruments are in the Primitive Baptist Church. There is a group calling themselves Progressive Primitive Baptists who now use a piano, but this is sufficient cause for their not being recognized by other Primitive Baptists as being Primitive Baptists at all.
I feel scripturally that it's wrong to have instrumental music in your church. So I wouldn't want to see that change in that area for that reason. But more or less in this area for the reason that these songs were just not meant for music. These songs are so precious that I feel like we ought to hold on and never let go. They're most definitely priceless. But maybe I'm prejudiced in the sense that I was raised with this type of singing, but I have been exposed to different types of singing among old Baptists, and this is still my favorite, even though I appreciate and respect the way other people sing. When I go among them, it's a treat, you know, it's a little different, you know, but I always love to come back to the mountains and sing these old songs.
You may sing of the beauties of mountain and vale, of the silvery stream, lit and flowers of the vale. but there's no other season nor time can compare with the house of devotion, the season of prayer. You may value the friendships of youth and of it, and delay for my comrades be noble and safe. But the friends that must cheer me on life's rugged road are the friends of my master, the children of God. You may talk of your prophets of faith or of will, and the hope that all flatter the favorites of hell. But the hope of bright glory of heaven lively take away every other and give me the fear. Elder Hell blessed him, holy boat of my God. I will turn to thee all done to hear from thy word. I will walk to thee altar with those that I love, and delight in the prospect revealed from
my grandmother, she wouldn't miss a church meeting at all. That was just real, you know, have to case. They were, I've seen her go when, you know, there'd be death in the family or anything, but it wouldn't be the funeral day, you know, but she'd go on to church. And she liked to, prepare for, company, you know, cook. She'd just cook on church time, clean house. She really enjoyed that, you know. I always got a kick out of that, you know, because I like to see her bake cakes and things like that.
The Primitive Baptist Church is often thought of as an Appalachian church. Appalachia is sometimes thought of as a region whose cultural and personal life does not change. These are attractive ideas, particularly so as they seem to explain away the Primitive Baptists' resistance to change in their church. But neither idea is altogether accurate. There are Primitive Baptist congregations in Kansas and Indiana, California, and New Mexico. And habits of people living in areas like Ruelbel County have changed. The Primitive Baptists' reluctance to change has more to do with their belief in an apostolic origin and descent. When the social environment in which they live is constantly changing, this attitude towards their religion is sometimes questioned. A refusal to change religiously or to adapt their religion to the changing time makes some believe that the Primitive Baptist will soon no longer be in existence. In the past, in many rural communities of America, the churches functioned as points of social contact for people separated by distances, rough terrain, and time-consuming physical work needed for survival. As modern conveniences lighten the workload, As distances were shortened by automobiles, telephone lines, improved roads, this was no longer solely the function of the church. Many modern churches, perhaps still feeling themselves to be the better source of contact, perhaps worried about losing souls to the attractions offered outside, responded by developing alternative recreations of their own, including very recently some Primitive Baptist congregations. But while some Primitive Baptist groups organize youth gatherings, most, like Calvin, are still debating the question of whether these activities are reminiscent of the old missionary controversy or in conflict with their doctrines of predestination and election. Certainly, the Primitive Baptist would want to avoid the possibility of activities leading to an attraction of members based on anything other than their first having had an experience of grace.
Around here, there's not very many young people at all. In fact, 85% are they're old, or they're getting middle-aged, you know, I mean, they're past middle-aged, really. In Tennessee, you have quite a few young members. And on up in Louisville and toward there, you have a lot of young members. But here you have very few young members. Most of the people have not brought their children to church at all. And again, there's not that many young people around here that their parents, you know, belong to the Primitive Baptist.
We all went to church and I had to bath them, clean them up, and set them back till I got ready, and they'd sit there, wait for me to get ready, and we'd all go to church. We'd walk to church. We had about a quarter of a mile to walk, I guess. On Sunday morning, we'd walk to church, hold hands, and talk and laugh and have a good time. We'd go back home, and then we'd get out and play. I'd play with them.
In this area, there are no activities. In other areas, there are the churches. Just get together and have little picnics. I don't think they do it to attract. And that certainly, none of that would go around here. It just would not go because I'm not really sure why.
No, Primitive Baptists don't have functions of that nature. I think that the spiritual nature of a person is what the church would attract. When we've been born again, there's something that must be nourished, that only the gospel can nourish. So in the carnal, even though we do need exercise, we need things to help us in the realms of good exercise and whatever, you know. But when it comes to the church, those things are not necessary. I do believe church members ought to work with the young people, but not on the sense they set it up and say, "You come to church this Sunday, and we'll have a volleyball game," or "You come to church, and we'll do this and we'll do that." That should not be what attracts people to the church. But once we have young people in the church, I do feel like it's the church's obligation, or the church members, to take an individual interest in those children or in each other as far as that goes. But it doesn't have to be set on a system of we'll have this if you'll do this. To me, it's about the lowest form of bribery, and the church should not indulge in that.
People, you know, they had to come long ways, you know, they didn't have cars to ride like they do now, you know. And they'd ride their horsebacks, and they'd come and gather up at people's houses, and they'd cook and go to church and have a good time.
In other parts of the nation, they have youth meetings. They get the young together, and they just discuss their problems. Well, that's about as far as the extent goes. Or they get together, all the families do, and play softball, you know, on a weekday or something in the summertime. And they have big picnics, the churches do. And I think that's great. I think if we could ever persuade people to do that around here, that it would draw more young people. I know that that's not what these people around here, they don't. I think you attract your children. I mean, if you bring them to a picnic, they hear, if you bring them to church, they hear what's being preached. They have to make their own decision anyhow. But, I do not think they would ever have any kind of youth program in this area, such as getting together and just discussing your problems, or families getting together with other families and having picnics and playing softball with other church members. My personal opinion, I think it's great. You don't have to do it to attract people. You can just do it out of, I think having good, clean fun, you have to have good, clean fun in your life. And I don't think there's anything wrong with church members and churches meeting together and having picnics and things like that. I think that would be good, not to attract people to, but to unite the church members themselves together.
We didn't have very much, and on Sundays we didn't go to church. But we get every time we could, we get together and play games and things like that. Children don't want to do things like that anymore. They've got to be, you know, going somewhere, doing something different than we grew up to be.
The Primitive Baptists are not unaware that people have changed and that the times have changed. They also recognize that these changes affect their religion, but they do not believe that surrounding changes determine the existence of their religion. In the Primitive Baptist religion, people join the church looking first for spiritual fellowship. Fellowship in your age group is secondary to this spiritual concern. The Primitive Baptists continue to shun the programs by which other religious groups have successfully adapted to changing times for fear that true spiritual concerns will become secondary to programs in large membership roles. The congregation at Calvin has diminished and swelled at various times in the past. Currently, the church has a little over 70 members, though many more than that attend their regular monthly meetings. Most members have wrestled within their experience of grace for many years before they ever request to join the church. Of those who attend, there is no way of knowing if or when they will join the church. The average age of church membership has always been middle-aged. And Cleo Green recalls that in her youth, too, most of the people in the church were middle-aged or older. Nearly a century and a half ago, when David Benedict published his Second History of the Baptists in America, he wrote that no mention would be made of the Primitive Baptists, as they would have disappeared before his book could be pressed and distributed.
They may dwindle, but I don't believe they'll ever die out. They may in this area. They, and in fact, it looks like they're headed toward that direction. I don't believe they will dwindle in other parts. I don't believe they'll ever be a huge multitude. But I don't think they'll ever die out.
Carry with me, oh my Savior, for the day is passing by. See the shades of evening.
This program was funded in part by the Kentucky Humanities Council and the National Endowment for the Humanities. Matching funds were contributed by the University of Kentucky's Appalachian Center and WVKY-FM. Additional research funds were contributed as an Appalachian Studies Fellowship, made possible by a grant from the Mellon Foundation and administered by Berea College. The program was co-produced by Melanie Sovine and Sue Smith. Thanks to Elder Walter Evans for the lined hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Elder Evans appears courtesy of Sovereign Grace Records of Cincinnati, Ohio.